Come on, amen. It's because of that name. Joy to the world. Hallelujah. Our Savior. Hallelujah. Behold the Savior of the world. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Let's just give them thanks right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We glorify your name. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we pray right now, God, Lord, that we stand here, God, right here tonight, God, to glorify the name above all names, God. We thank you for the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, God, Lord, that by that name, hallelujah, by that name, hallelujah, demons flee, hallelujah. Sickness has to leave, God. We thank you for the name of Jesus, the name above all names. We thank you, Father God, for the name Jesus, the name that means Savior, the name that means Savior. Hallelujah. I thank you, God, for redeeming us, God. I thank you for setting us free here tonight, God. I thank you, God, Lord, that those that have come here tonight without joy, Father God, Lord, I pray that their joy, that they be interrupted, hallelujah, that their whatever sadness, whatever it might be, would be interrupted with joy. I pray that any darkness would be interrupted with light. Where you are, God, hallelujah, in your presence, we stand right here tonight, knowing that in that name, those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we call upon your name. We say Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Children can go to their classes. Come on. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Amen. I thank you, those that are watching tonight. Sorry for that interruption, but we're here now. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Amen. Randy's doing some makeshift patchwork right now. So I just, listen, I want you to really, I really feel that, can I say something? I changed my message Saturday or Wednesday because, we got hearing the word of God. That means we got to keep hearing. If God speaks the word, and we're going to share this just for a minute, but when God speaks a word, I have to be willing to move in the word that he speaks me before he speaks another. Sometimes we're waiting for God to speak and we don't hear. Maybe God's waiting for me to move in the word that he already gave me. Just think about that. And so Wednesday night, the reason why this came on me is because I was at a job site, and when I was there, first of all, celebration because my friend that fell 4 feet and broke his orbital or his eye, cracked 13 ribs, cracked his back, all kinds of problems, was back to work with me. Everybody said he'd never be back. I said, he'll be back. No, he won't. He'll be back. No, he won't. He'll be back. He's 62. He'll be back. Back. Amen. So I just want you to see this, that, you know, even in the midst of all that, I'm standing there and a guy comes up and he asks if anybody has a wrench. Doesn't seem big. You know, I mean, I'm just making a plan. I'm just trying to see something. It's the little things. It's the little things. Come on, tell someone it's the little things. Come on. It's the little things. I want you to hear this and know that God's got his people, hallelujah, in special places, hallelujah, even for the little things. Come on, amen. I'm here to tell you that you have purpose and God has you here even for the little things. Come on, amen. Even for the little things, that those things might not seem important, but I'm telling you that God wants to use you for the little things. Come on. Even if it's taking your neighbor's hand and telling them you love them. Maybe it's just praying for somebody that's going through something. Maybe it's just listening. Maybe it's calling somebody you haven't talked to on a long time. It's the little things that mean something. It's those seeds that mean something for the kingdom of God. So when I was there, a guy come up and he asked, he says, hey, anybody have a wrench? Everybody says no. And I'm like, I'm 3 sections up in the air. And I know I have one. But I don't want to go down because it's a long ways. But I said, I got one before I thought it through. So I climbed all the way down. But right after I climbed down, a man stepped on the ladder and it broke in half. That's another story. But I was good. So I came out and I gave the guy the wrench and just carried on a conversation with him. He said, what do I owe you? I said, you don't owe me nothing. Here. I said, and you can keep it. I said, if you need it. Water radiator hose popped off. So he had a semi truck and he didn't have nobody. There was nobody around. So when at the end of the day, I come back and I opened up my toolbox, and in my toolbox was $20. I didn't need the $20. He needed to give me the $20. I just want you to see it's the little things. I don't know what that meant. He had to get somewhere. He had to get home, but somebody showed him something. I want you to see that just doing the right things sometimes, that God, just Jesus went around doing good. And miracles. We love the miracles. I want to do miracles in the name of Jesus, but it's doing good. If you can't do the good, forget the miracles. If I can't love my neighbor. So I just wanted you to have that. So Wednesday night, I am going to get to my sermon. It's called the true gift of Christmas. That's a shouting point. Just a good shout. Just clap your hands. It's the true gift. Say the true gift of Christmas. And I just want us to see some things that really, the Lord has really spoke to my heart about this, and I want to share it on Wednesday night because I believe that it really touched your heart. But tonight we're going to talk about spiritual disruptors. Spiritual interrupters. And if you hear that right off the bat, you think, what does that mean? Now, I want you to think about it. I want you to think that, see, there's sometimes that God wants to use you in a place of chaos to speak peace, spiritually disrupt what the enemy's planning. To speak peace in the midst of chaos, to be a spiritual disruptor of the enemy. Come on, amen. Say amen to that. To be an interrupter of what the enemy has done or what the enemy's in the midst of doing, that God wants to use you to interrupt his plans. He wants you and me. Come on, hey, tell your neighbor he's talking about you. To disrupt what the enemy has planned. And I want you to hear this because it just might be that one lady that just had a horrible day that God's got you. Come on, amen. His servant in her space to shine. Disrupt the enemy. Maybe that girl, maybe she's going through something, or maybe she's facing something, but God's going to use you. It's those moments that I'm talking about. Come on, amen. It's those moments. Now, Acts. I just want to go here. You okay? Last week we were talking about how that pressure brings power. We don't always like that, but it's pressure that brings power. It's pressure that produces power in our lives. That what happens is when we're under extreme pressure, it's in the midst of that power is produced. That through tribulation, patience, it works patience. Say, it's working for me. Now I can let the pressure, the tribulation work for me. Now, we're not meant to let it work against me, but for me. See, the enemy wants it to work against you. But if the pressure works for you, that's a spiritual disruption. That you let the spirit disrupt what the enemy is meant for evil. In the midst of tribulation. In the midst of pressure. So, in Acts, we talked last week that in Acts, it says that This is in Acts 3. And it says, hang on one second. Don't get ahead of me, Chris. Yeah. So here's where they were. Here's where they were. And it says, and now Peter, when they came and they were coming through the temple to worship, to bless the Lord. And there was this man that was in this spot that everybody walked past. And this man was experiencing the same thing for many years. It never got interrupted. Same chaos, the same problem, the same situation, the same hurt, the same pain for year after year, and never was interrupted with it. But today, say today. Two guys that were overwhelmed by God. It says that who's seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asked alms. Peter, fastening upon his eyes upon him, said, look on us. He said, what did he say? Look on us. Listen, he didn't put it off for something else. He didn't put it off to the church. He didn't put it off to the mission. Didn't put it off to something else. He said, look. Come on, tell someone, look at me. Come on, look at me, look at me. Come on, amen, look at me. I want you to look at me. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have in me, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. What I have in me is Christ. It's enough. He was willing to know that what was in him was valuable, more than gold, more than silver. What was in it was valuable. And what he had, he needed. And he says, I will not walk past, but I want you to embrace what I have. Because I believe what I have is real. See, I would be quiet if I didn't really believe it deep down in my heart. We can worship and we can shout unto God with everything, but unless my heart is saying what I'm saying, it's just words. So when he was able to say, look at me, look at me, look at me, he was putting on them. He says, I want to be a spiritual disruptor to your pain. I want to let God use me because he's in me the hope of glory. We got to know what's in us. Come on, we got to know what is within us. That God wants us, because the enemy wants to keep us silent. He does not want us to disrupt spiritually the things that he is doing in the world. But God's got you here. I want to help you tonight. You all right? He says, so I want you to say this. And he says, and he, leaping, stood and walked and entered into the temple for the first time. But he was walking, leaping, and praising God. His actions spoke loud. His actions were declaring a message, preaching. It's not about what they're saying. It's about the action that they did. They spoke and they gave that to him. And what was in him caused him to get up, walk it out. Amen? He said, look on us. They let God use them. And out of what they had was Jesus. Matthew 5:14. Says this is, you all know this, and you are the light. Come on, you are the light. Tell someone you're the light. You are the light of the world, the city set on the hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. God's got you, hallelujah, to shine light and to disrupt darkness. God's got you to disrupt, not to take you out of this world, come on, that you could be the light of the God in light of the world, in this world. Say, in this world. Heaven doesn't need your light. The earth does. Right here does. It's not dark in heaven. You're the light in this world to disrupt darkness. I want to help you tonight. And to manifest light. I want you to think that, what am I manifesting? Am I manifesting light with my life? I want to manifest light. I want to express, neither do men light a candle. He says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works. Because it's in your pressure and the things that you going that Christ works out of your life. Something's going to work out of you in the midst of pressure. Come on, I want to help you tonight. Something's going to work out of your life. And it's in the midst of the pressures and the extremities around us that in that pressure, something's working out of me that God wants to use for His glory. It's in the midst of those pressures that releases the light and darkness. He says to glorify your Father which is in heaven. That in the midst of this, that your light shining glorifies God. Your life glorifies God. In the midst of that, your expression of Him. 2 Corinthians. You all right? Woohoo! 2 Corinthians 4, 6. For we preach not ourselves, but we preach Jesus. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined where? In your hearts. To give light of the knowledge and the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The image and likeness to be expressed through your life, His likeness, the likeness of Christ, be released out of your life. The image of God, hallelujah, released out of your life to darkness. I want you to get this tonight. I want you to see that I don't take this lightly, but I take it serious to know that you're valuable. You are valuable. Come on, amen. You're a commodity of heaven. You're a child of the Most High God. That God wants you to release His likeness and His image in the earth. We see, hallelujah, the image of Satan in the earth. You can't walk down the streets without not seeing darkness exposed. But God wants something greater to be released out of you. Hallelujah. His image and His likeness. Verse says, but we have this treasure in this, say this, earthen vessel. It's a clay pot made of clay. This earthly vessel. We have this treasure. It's a treasure. It's a treasure. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have a treasure within you that the world is looking for, and it's in you. Come on, I want you to hear. It's in you. There's a valuable treasure within you, and it's Christ. See, Peter and John, they got a hold of it. They said, take hold of what's in us, Christ. Look at me. But what I do have, hallelujah, is enough, and His name is Jesus. He realized that they were earthen vessels, but Christ was in them, hallelujah. And He says, the excellency of power of God might be of God and not of us. See, God uses earthen vessels. Servants that are willing to say yes to God. To believe that what He did by faith was enough. That you carry this life in you. He says, but when pressure comes, what do I do? Do I let God disrupt hatred, darkness, evil? Listen, says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not knocked out. Always bearing about in the body. Listen, this is it. That Christ might be manifested in your life. That through these pressures, if I, hallelujah, let Christ be manifested through my life in the midst of persecution, in the midst of my pressure. Because in those moments, I could do one. I could either walk in the flesh or the spirit. Either I could walk in what Christ did for me. He's the incorruptible seed. Or I could walk in the flesh. It's the way I respond. I can let God disrupt whatever I'm going through. That pain that the enemy that I'm going through in my life, whatever it might be, I can let God disrupt it in my life. Listen. Let God, I gotta let God. The Bible says, let God arise and his enemies will scatter. Let God, say let God. I got to let God arise. I can't hold him back. Well, whatever that might be, fear or doubt, but I gotta let God arise. I gotta be willing to walk in faith. So, Philippians 1. We talked about this last week. We talked about how that Paul wrote this. This was the scripture that God spoke to, gave him a word, and he said to Paul, he says, I want you to go to Philippi. And when he went there, they got him and they put him in prison. It's in those moments, in the sense of that pressure, that we wonder why. But I want you to know that instead of wondering why, he came to a place where he decided to let God arise. What the enemy meant for evil, he was going to let God arise out of the midst of his prison. Those are choices we have. There's things that will come in our lives, but what do I do in the midst of that moment means everything. It means everything. So how do I respond? How do I respond? How did he respond? And he says, he disrupted the enemy. And it says, all the way down, he says, and for I know that this shall turn for my salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus. It shall turn. But it just doesn't turn by chance. It turns through prayer. We understand that God moves in prayer. Our participation. In agreement with him. And the second thing is your obedience. For God to disrupt that situation, we have to say yes. I have to let God arise. Sometimes our enemies don't scatter because I don't let God be God. Rise in the midst. Am I making sense? I want you to get this. I want to be real plain. I want us to see this and how that this works. And as we go back all the way up to 11, this is how he disrupted. Come on, this is how he let God disrupt. He says this in verse 11, and it says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are Jesus Christ, unto glory and praise in God. The fruits are the image and likeness of God, out of the Spirit of God. Galatians 5. You know, fruits come whenever you are, when they're filled with nutrition and they overflow. That's where fruits bear. When it's overflowing. Say overflowing. And whatever it's overflowing, and that's what it bears. That's what it produces. Whatever it's overflowing with. So I want to overflow with the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5. I'm going to read it out of my Amplified here. Is that all right? Oh, good. So here it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, and this is what it says, and the result of his presence within us. The fruit of the Spirit, that is the result of his presence within us. Fruits or the overflow of His presence within us. That's what comes out of our lives, come on, amen, from His presence within us. He says, and this is the overflow. This is when we let God disrupt our situation. It's love, joy, peace, patience. Not the ability to wait, but how we act while we're waiting. That's what patience is. How do I act? Come on, help me tonight. It's those little things. Say little things. See, the enemy wants to disrupt your spiritual disruption. And sometimes it's our patience that gets disrupted so that God cannot disrupt somebody's life, whatever that might be. And it's just waiting. Sometimes we get upset because we have to wait. How do I act? How do I act when I gotta wait? My daughter is a drive-thru worker. She tells me stories upon stories about how people act when they have to wait. That's horrible to know that what's in me comes out of me if I have to wait. Help me, God. But I want this moment that I got to wait and I see a crowd of people saying, God, what are you up to? Somebody here tonight, right here, right in this, that God, I'm going to pray for right in this moment right now. I'm stopped here for a reason, God. And I'm going to let you arise. Come on, that's what God wants us to do. That moments come in our life, that they come, let God disrupt with love, joy, peace, righteousness, whatever all the fruits, let them come up out of your life. That's what we choose to do in moments of our lives, that we abide. Whew. Is that good? So he said this, he says, and so, where am I at here? Oh yeah, I'm back of my phone. Hang on. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I'll skip it, all right. And then it goes down and says, it says that spirit, that we are to walk by the Spirit, that I am to live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. Listen, it says that thing. Listen, I need to live from the abundance of Christ and let it overflow. Are you ready for this? Help me tonight. In my walk. That I walk in the Spirit. My influence of the Spirit has to, is it interrupting my walk and those that I'm around? Is where I walk being interrupted by the Spirit, Mimsy? Is where I go, hallelujah, is being interrupted by light in the midst of darkness? When I walk in the room, come on, amen, I have to know that Christ in me, the hope of glory. I got to know, hallelujah, that it might just I just want to run into the store right now, just for a minute, and that line might be long in that moment right there. I got to take that moment, hallelujah. Maybe God's got me there for that minute to let the Spirit be released in my life right there, right in that place. There's more in you than you realize. If we can realize this and understand Christ in me, come on, hallelujah. And if you don't experience that, I want you to. We're to bring heaven on earth. He said, pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's some people, hallelujah, that do not experience what it is in heaven on earth. Whether it's the joy, whether it's peace, whatever it's gentleness, God's got you to for them to experience heaven on earth. Jesus showed up and the angels declared joy to the world. He brings good tidings. The angels are declaring, they want to declare good tidings when you show up because of what's in you. They know how valuable you are. Satan and demons know how valuable you are. I need to know. maybe I began to speak into my situations more. Don't let my situations and problems speak to me, but I need to speak to them. I need to declare to them. I won't let them move, but no. I need to let God disrupt whatever enemy spoke. Amen? Come on, let me get through here. Let me get through here. Hold me up. We could look and we could see that how that God used Moses to disrupt the plan of Pharaoh. He said, Moses, I want you to go. I heard their cry. I want to set them free. So I choose you. You go in my name. When they ask who it, say I am. I want you to walk with confidence. To know that I am Moses. I'm M. Whatever you ask me to be. I want to be that in your life. I want to disrupt. If you say yes to me, I want to disrupt the plan of Pharaoh. I want you to lead my people out into victory. I want you to turn what the enemy has meant for evil, and I want you to turn it for good. Hallelujah. I'm going to get the glory. And generations after generations are going to say yes to me because you said yes to me. They're going to look back and see that you disrupted what the enemy meant for evil. That the enemy meant my children to be slaves, but I'm going to show them I meant them to be sons. I meant them to be servants of the Most High God, children of God. It was Gideon that the angel came and found Gideon. Where was he at? He was hiding in a wine press. But God showed, came to Gideon. God him says, Gideon, I want you to go. And I want you to release my people from where they are. How can I do that? I want you to turn fear into faith. And I want them to see your faith in me released. I'm going to show them what I can do with somebody that says yes. I want to disrupt the enemy. That's what God wants to do. I seen in 2 Kings 7 or 1 Kings 17, 8, whatever it is. But he said, go to Zarephath. And I want you to see this. I want you everybody to catch this, because there's these moments that God will send somebody in the midst. But in this moment that God says, I am sending you to Zarephath where there is a woman that will sustain you. That I have commanded. That means that he gave her a word before he showed up. I want you to take care of this man that's going to come. I want you to hear it this way, because that's what is declared. That I've given you to command, sustain this man. Now I want you to know that this woman was in the midst of poverty. She was in the midst of death. There was people dying everywhere. There was a famine in the land. The stench of death was everywhere. But God spoke to this woman to say, I need you to sustain this man. He's coming. So while he shows up, she's picking up sticks to make her last meal. He shows up and he says, give me a drink. She knew that this was the one that God sent for her to sustain. See, I want you to know that in this moment, she said yes. But in our yes, it was bigger than what she thought. Because while she was going to get that, she agreed to that. Sometimes, I want you to hear it, guys. Sometimes we agree to those things that seem easy to say yes to God. Come on. There's moments in my life where that I can easily agree with God. It's hard to worship God in the midst of my prison. It's easy to worship God, to say yes to God right here, right now, in this comfortable environment, in this moment, to lift up my hands and bless God. But in that prison, at that moment, I want you to see that this woman was going, but he interrupted her from going and said, give me a morsel of bread, maybe something to eat. That was too much. Because she turned around. I want you to know, listen to me. God sent him to be fed by her so that she could be fed by him. I want you to hear that. God sent her to him for her to feed him so that she would be fed by him. He challenged her faith. Come on, I want you to see this. He challenged her faith to go farther. Sometimes God will put, you think you're doing something, man, I'm blessing somebody. I want you to know the blessing that you're blessing somebody is greater for you than you know. I want you to hear that. What you're doing that you think you're doing for somebody else is greater. Hallelujah. And in that moment, hallelujah, she decided to do what he said. She decided to stand on that word. It was hard. It was easy to go get some water. When he said, make me this. That was hard. And she did it. I want you to know, she did not know he was sent by God until the end. He didn't know she was a man of God until after he rose her son up. She says, now I know that you are from God. Sometimes if we know they're from God, it'll... But listen, she let God disrupt her famine by saying yes. Disrupt the lack. When she realizes... He didn't ask her to go somewhere else to get it. No, no, no. He said, what was in her house? Go make it with what you have. What you say, what you have. He wanted her to realize, God wanted her to realize what she had was enough. Christ in you. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. I want what's in me, Christ in me, to speak to my lack, my situation, to disrupt whatever that might be. I need to let, hallelujah, Christ disrupt that situation. I need to let Christ disrupt death, because in that midst, all that was around, it was all around. That's all she's seen. But she believed with faith that what he said was enough, and she believed it and she responded to it. And she had overflow. She let God disrupt famine. Let me finish. Last one. There's one. Acts 8. And this is what I call is, I have a whole list of unknown heroes. Unknown heroes of our faith. I love them. I love unknown heroes, because you know what? I stand here tonight sometimes that, and I see, there's some of us that will come to church and your presence, hallelujah, you're worshiping God, hallelujah. There's an unknown faith of men and women of God that touch people out there that no one else might know, but God sees it. Come on, God sees it. And God's looking to use the unknown faithful. So in Acts 8, we see this. I want you to get this and see that I'm about done here. You all right? I'm there. Say, he's landing. Come on, I'm bringing it down. I want you to catch this and see that this is in Acts 8. And it says, Saul was consenting, approved the killing of these Christians in the church. Last week we talked about this, say pressure. Because of Paul, Saul, we know Paul. Before he was Paul, he was Saul. And he was being used to disrupt what God was trying to do. But unfortunately, he was doing it in the name of God. But it was wrong. So I want you to see this. So he pressed and pushed against the Christians, thinking that it was going to get them to stop. But the more pressure he applied, the bigger they grew. They went out of their houses and they began to go into other communities. They got outside the house because of the pressure. They scattered everywhere. I want you to see this. Sometimes God will use the devil, hallelujah. He'll use people, hallelujah, that are being used by the devil for his purpose. I promise you. There was a woman that that she was praying to God. She stood on her porch and she began to worship God and bless God. She didn't have no food, nothing. She was blessing God. She was worshiping God, thanking God for the groceries that were going to come to her house. And her neighbor kept coming out, "Shut up. Can you please be quiet?" She goes, No. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to bless God. I'm going to thank Him for what I have. You don't have nothing. Why are you going to thank Him?" So the more she kept praising God, this guy went out and he got all the groceries and she put it on her porch. And when she came out, she seen all the groceries. She began to worship God, jump up and down. And as she was doing that, he jumped out from the bushes and he said to her, "God didn't do that for you. I did." And she says, "Praise you, Jesus. You got me my groceries and you used the devil to do it." Come on. So the devil might be applying pressure, but God, you can turn it. Say, turn it. Turn it for God. So here he is. He's pressed against this moment. I want you to see this. And he says, "And in Saul, yet breathing threatening, he began to slaughter the Christians. But Jesus was about ready to disrupt Saul's plans. And as he was on his way, the Bible says that, let me go. This is in 9. It says, and he desired, he says, and he journeyed, and he came near Damascus, and suddenly, there shined round about him light from heaven. Light began to interrupt his darkness. I want you to know that every one of us, that listen, when you're born again, darkness was interrupted by light. Come on, death was interrupted by life. So this is, and it fell to the earth, and he said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And he said, "Who are you?" He says, "Who art thou?" He says, "I am the Lord. I am Jesus that you persecuted." And he, trembling, astonished, he says, "Lord, what will have me to do?" Lord said, he says, "Arise and go into the city." And he says, "And it shall be told of thee." And it begins to go that he led, he was blind, he couldn't see. And as he journeyed, while he was going there, listen, God already had somebody in the right place at the right time, hallelujah, to speak to Saul. Come on, I want you to see, this wasn't the most opportune. This person was a person that was persecuting. He was an enemy. I want you to hear this. Listen to me. That's why God says, I want you to love your enemies, because they're not my enemies, hallelujah. They might be yours, but I have died that they would have life. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. His enemies, he said, forgive them. He died for them. I want you to see. He said, but in the midst of that, he went to a man. He had a dream. His name was Ananias. His name's Ananias. And his name means grace. Gracious of God. I want you to see this. So here's this guy named Ananias. God gives a dream. He says, I want you to go to a place. There's a guy named Saul. Wow. He says, you mean Saul, the one that's killing Christians? You want me to go to him? Yeah. I want you to go there. I want you to interrupt darkness. And I want you to bring him light. Not everybody would have been willing at that moment, would you stand to me, to respond. Listen, you guys don't have to run. I want you to stay. Just I want you to hear this. We got food downstairs for everybody. They'll wait. We won't rush them. Listen. But I'm asking you. I'm asking you, Ananias, to go to him. The one that killed your friend, Stephen. One that's been an enemy to me, that's persecuted me, I want you to go. And when you get there, I want you to lay hands upon him. Because I want you to know, listen to me, guys, I want you to hear this. We hold on to God with faith, but God's grace holds on to me. So God says, I want to hold on to him for you. I want my grace to embrace him. Go lay hands on him. Go embrace him. at that moment. Hallelujah. This is the only one for a long time that was going to touch him, that was going to embrace him. But he reached out and he was filled with the Spirit of God. Overflow. Because of this man, his obedience to God. He experienced this. Last scripture is this in Luke. I want you to see this. I want you to take hold of this. I want to read this out of this. Jesus stood up. He said, "And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me, overflow, to preach good news to the poor." I want you guys to say the same anointing that raised Christ from the tomb is in you. So God's looking for some people to say, "I am anointed to preach good news. I'm here to bring joy. I'm here to declare, hallelujah, I'm not to let the angels take my place, but I'm here to preach good news. I'm here for this moment right here. This is what I'm called to do. He has sent me to announce, to release those that are captive," like Moses. "To recover the sight of the blind, those that cannot see." I want to be like Ananias. I want to release. Come on, Saul was blinded and Ananias laid hands upon him for 3 days and he was able to see. The same anointing. "To set those that are oppressed, that are bruised by tragedy, that are trodden down." You know some people like that? God's got you. You're anointed. He's got the answer. He says to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Each one of us. That's the good news. You have a message to preach. Get preaching. Start preaching. And it's good news. Bless those around you. Speak life in situations. Find those. Begin to look and let God be your eyes. Come on. Let God be your eyes to see. Show me, God. Let that be your prayer. God, show me somebody today, this day. Well, as I get up, God, Lord, let this not be about me and my problems and my situation, God. But let this be the day of the Lord, God, your day. That in that day, God, Lord, I know I'm anointed, that I could preach the good news, that those that I can release, whatever needs released, I could, those that are captive, those that are hurting, those that are bruised, that I can speak life into them because you are in me. We'll declare with all of our heart that we are in highly favored. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for these people. I thank you for those that are watching. I pray to God, Lord, that we just, Lord, let this message spread in our hearts, overwhelm us, that we could be released to those that are hurting. God, Lord, we give you the glory for it and praise. Amen. God's knocking. Open up. Let him in. Come on. Amen. Thank you.